Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls. On today's episode, we'll be talking about rumors that the Bulls have interest in Thybulle from the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll also be reviewing the seasons of Billy Donovan and the front office and AK and Eversley. All that and more on today's Locked On.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Bulls your first listen of the day. Locked On Bulls, member of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Pat. That's Pat the Designer, by the way, host and creator of the Windy City Breeze. I'm Hayes, host and creator of the Chicago Bulls Central. We both collectively have been covering the Bulls for quite a long time, but Pat more than me. But nonetheless, we are here today. We got a host of topics for you guys. First up, the Philadelphia 76ers may be interested in moving Thybulle, and apparently the Bulls have some interest there. When I initially saw this rumor, thinking about it, Pat, I don't know about you, but I initially kind of squinted at it like, I don't know if I believe that. But then spending some time over the day actually thinking about it, I actually would not hate it at all when you think about Thybulle being a solid defender who can hit some open shots. We know he missed a lot for the Philadelphia 76ers in this year's playoff series, but Thybulle has some potential there. I don't know if he's consistent enough, though, as I would want to see the Bulls go after for the bench this season. But what do you think, Pat?
I'm okay on Thybulle, and I'll tell you exactly why. If I need inconsistent shooting and good defense, I got that. Javonte Green's on my team. If I'm talking about somebody as a backup three as well, right? Like I watched him play the four all season. I think he's strong enough to guard three guards small forwards. I'm not in on Thybulle at all, mostly because, and listen, it's not at all saying that Thybulle doesn't have a spot on an NBA team. Thybulle's a scrub. Thybulle is an excellent defender. I'm talking about he averages almost two steals per game and a block a game. That is ridiculous when you think about it, right? Like he could have been in, if he was more of a starter, you might have been talking about him in defensive player of the year candidacy. But because he came off the bench for Philly, you of course, you know, he's not going to get that same recognition. But, excuse me, I can't overlook the inconsistencies of him shooting the basketball. And really, we're only talking about this in a last 15 game sense. Over the last 15 games of the season, he shot 44% from three. This is Chicago. We know about players having a month.
This is true. We talked about that yesterday. So
we know about players having a month. So for me, I am not here on Thybulle. If I need solid defense and spotty shooting, I'd rather take a chance on a guy like Javonte Green, who's already here, understands the system, going to come in cheaper, right? Like, I guess if you want Thybulle maybe to replace a Derrick Jones Jr., like, I could see that as a cheaper option there. But for me, it doesn't do it for me because it doesn't address what the Bulls need most on the bench, which is scoring. The Bulls have defenders, Javonte, Ayo, Caruso. We just look at it in the viewpoint of these guys were starting. So, like, we don't think about our bench having defenders on it because they were in the starting lineup.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that we have the consistency in a lot of the defenders that we have, even in Javonte. I mean, Javonte is going to be amazing. Like, let me be clear. Javonte Green being able to hopefully move back to guarding threes rather than fours, playing more like 15 to 18 minutes off the bench. Javonte Green's about to have a monster season for the Chicago Bulls. If everybody stays healthy, he can play the role that he's meant to, and that's coming off the bench. But let me say this. First of all, I absolutely agree with you. Thybulle is not anybody that I think the Bulls should even target. If they do go after somebody like Thybulle and make a trade, it should be something that they do after everything else we need to address on the bench first.
Yeah.
But I'm going to play devil's advocate for you here. Javonte Green is 28 years old, three years older than Thybulle, and he's a free agent next season, where I think Thybulle still has – he's under contract until the 2024 season. But with that being said, is there a chance? Do the Bulls risk, because a contender may throw a lot of money at Javonte Green in a year when he's an unrestricted free agent. Do they then look to bring in Thibault again? Like I said, within the framework of it being an end of free agency deal, do they look to bring it in for some insurance in case Javonte does decide to leave?
I don't know if somebody's going to throw the baggage about that. That'd be interesting. But I'm possibly. You know,
I'm not saying that it's likely, but I can see it.
On the same tip as a Thibault, right? Like you come in and your job is to do one thing, stop that person. Yeah. I could see, here's the thing. I could see the Bulls going after Thibault. I don't like it. I could see the Bulls going after Thibault because Mark Eversley's in the building. Mark Eversley was a big proponent of Thibault coming out of college, almost said high school, coming out of college. he was a big part of the reason why Philadelphia drafted him in the, in 2019. And so I could see Thibault being a Chicago Bull. I just feel like, right, like there's so many other things that the Bulls need to address. On the defensive tip, right, the defense that we need help with is not another 6'5 guy. This I got plenty true. Of those guys.
It's a 6'10, 6'11 guy.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Where's the 6'10 guy? Where's the 6'11 guy? Like, I like the numbers for Thibault defensively, but I would rather have those numbers for a guy that can stand next to Vooch and help him out a little bit coming off of the bench.
Yeah. The first thing that needs to be addressed with, I even think with the Bulls' full mid-level exception, if it takes that, is getting a defender, a big who is a defender who maybe can hit some shots around the rim. But key thing is, and the thing that I've been saying for a long time, can play next to Patrick Williams or next to Vooch. Like that's the key thing. That's the first thing that needs to be addressed.
Yeah,
and then we figure out other things.
I think that's – I'm going to be real with you. Like, for some reason, it's just something that I didn't pay attention to it. And when I heard 18th pick, I instantly was like, trade the pick, go find you a piece. Trade the pick, go find you a piece. Mm-hmm. 18th pick, dog, like, I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like that's a pick where if you were going to trade it and get capital back, and we do want to clarify because I feel like in one of the videos, me and you kind of understood how the pick went, and I don't know if we actually explained it. For the Bulls to trade the pick, they have to draft the person that the team wants. And then they can trade it to that person.
That's how every draft day pick, the way that it technically works out for those who doesn't know is that the team still makes the selection.
Yeah.
But they can announce a deal like ahead of time. So basically, the Bulls will make that pick, but they'll be making it for the other team that they plan on making that trade.
Yeah, and the trade would have to officially go down on draft day. I feel like I see somebody in the comments talking about that, and I was like, I thought that was just – picks go, but it's all good. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like you could make a move like that, get another pick, maybe another player. Go find you your Taj Gibson in the draft, possibly.
Listen.
Go find you your Bobby Portis in the draft. I keep saying these dudes are a possibility to be found. Uh-huh. We keep talking about Christian Wood and all these months. Go get this guy that's proven. These 4-year bigs out of college be coming into the NBA able to play.
but the thing is it's not, I don't think the question is they're able to play. It just is. And that's what it really boils down to. Do the Bulls do enough to where they think they are a championship contender this offseason, which it's very unlikely that they'll get closer, right? It's a process.
Yeah.
But they can, like I said, I look at somebody like EJ Liddell all day. EJ is ready to come in and compete at an NBA level. And the way that everything else is shaking, as much as I've done some research on a bunch of draft picks, almost everybody I did research, like Mark Williams started off being listed between 14th and like 20th. Like now a lot of mocks have him going 9th to the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah. That's how it's going to go. Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think EJ Liddell will be there for us.
I think EJ may be there.
I think he's going to go up. That size and that body, I think he's going to go up. But I would rather see the Bulls do that right than go after somebody like Thibault, because for me, like, Thibault's a great backup three. You're going to have to get involved with essentially a third team to make it work because they're trying to make money work. Not only Philly's trying to make money work, not just to clear cap space for James Harden, but also to put pieces around. So they're going to be trying to clear as much cap space as possible. He's only making $4.4 million. You're probably going to see another team come into that. I feel like that's too much to get into for a guy that literally is like he
doesn't move the needle, right?
He could be 3-and-D. Yeah. There's no 3.
And we've seen a lot of that in Chicago too, right? A lot of 3-and-D players that bring no D with the 3 at all. I mean, no 3 with the D at all. Well, whoa.
Is that a pause?
Pause.
We're going to move past it. Don't worry.
We're going to move right on past that. We're going to keep it moving. We're going to keep it moving.
How you gonna end the segment on that?
But next up, we're going to get into our season review for Billy Donovan. But first, I got to talk to you guys about old-fashioned Built Bar. So I love brownies, but I know what I love more is brownie batter. Sometimes I eat half the batter just while making the brownies. Imagine if you can lick the brownie spatula clean and get some protein in. You're in luck because Built Bar has a new creation. This one is even better than ever. The Brownie Batter Puff. You heard me right. The puff that takes protein bars to a whole new level, and they're now available on Built.com. Have you tried the puffs yet? You should have tried the puffs. I'm not sure what you're waiting for, but puffs are chocolate-covered marshmallow protein bar. That's right. Delicious flavored marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. With 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 7 grams of sugar, that's crazy that it's a Brownie Batter Puff. With only 7 grams, that's wild. All Built Bar Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means with Built, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. And they're made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides a ton of health benefits. The Brownie Batter Puffs will have you completely forgetting that you are eating a protein bar. No need to pinch yourself. This is real life. So here's their offer. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 at Built.com. All right, this is I'm a little bit, let me not say nervous, but I'm gonna be really interested to see how the comment section goes for this, because we know Bulls fans all but turned on Billy Donovan by the end of the season. I know me and you were kind of more understanding of kind of the totality of what happened with the Bulls in the season, but we got to talk about the season that Billy Donovan had. Pat, I'm gonna turn this one over to you first, brother.
I mean, listen, Billy Donovan has gotten the Bulls back to what he does as a head coach. Billy Donovan, his first ever sub 500 season was his first season with us. And in two seasons, he's got us back to 46-36. Are there some things that I think the Bulls could have worked on that I think Billy Donovan could have been? I think we've said all season, we feel like Billy Donovan could be a little bit quicker with adjusting. He likes to let the players kind of feel out their game and work their game into it. And that might not be a coaching style that we look for, right? But I'm also not one of the guys that I want to see somebody that's just screaming in my players' faces, yelling at them, getting, you know, we saw, who was the coach? Was it Buddy
Jim from Boylan?
I definitely wasn't. A competent coach. somebody who's intelligent.
That's Kyle's?
No, not for the Bulls. There was somebody in the playoffs this year. I think it was Memphis coach, where he was just trying to get them fired up. Oh, it was. It was Taylor Jenkins when Jai hit the game winner and he was fired up about it and blah, blah. It was just like, that's what I want Billy Donovan to be. That's not Billy Donovan. Like, I don't want my coach to be fake. I want him to be who he is. And I love that Billy Donovan is understanding and even keel. The thing that people don't give Billy Donovan credit for is Billy Donovan, when the Bulls were winning, was saying, hey, this ain't sustainable. We're shooting right now at a clip that is impossible to continue through an NBA season. We're not playing good enough defense. We're not closing out well. We're winning right now, and I love it. Let's keep the wins coming. But we, like, Billy Donovan was the only real person in the room, and then he's trying to tell y'all, we have to be better. The players have to be better. We've got to make these moves. And all of a sudden, when the players not being better and they not making these moves, it's Billy Donovan's fault. He was telling us the whole season, stop playing with Billy.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. I got to push back on you, because it's easy to say things, but it's up to the coach to put things into place. Yes, a lot of it's on the players. So I'm not saying that everything's completely on Billy Donovan, but Billy Donovan has his place to it. I'm not giving Billy Donovan any credit because he said the right things, because guess what? Your adjustments still weren't great over the course of the season. Now, I will say this. His adjustments got a lot better in the playoffs. What he did with some of those pick-and-roll coverages, he absolutely adjusted. They just weren't successful in it. But there were a long stretch of period of time where Billy Donovan was saying all the right things, but we weren't seeing it on the court in this coach.
Well, here's the thing. It's just like he said in that press conference. I think that was like right around when me and you started doing this mug. You can't keep coming to me and saying my bad coach. You know what I'm saying? Listen, all Billy can do is tell the players what to do. And the Bulls were so injured, right? Everybody was saying, if they're not listening to you, you bench them. For who? There was no one left.
Yeah, well, that was ridiculous.
There was legitimately nobody left. Billy Donovan was trying everything. Billy Donovan was making adjustments. He was changing lineups, trying to find anything that could possibly work in the playoffs while it was happening. I have no issues with Billy Donovan's style of coaching. I have no issues with what Billy Donovan was trying to do with this Bulls team. At a certain point, the players got to play. I've seen bad coaches be successful. Frank Vogel has an NBA championship. He's not a good head coach. He has an NBA. Players can make the coach the next level. I love Phil Jackson. I love everything he did. You know what makes him a great head coach? He had Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant when things broke down to make the triangle offense look God amazing.
See, like, but see, I think that's taking some of the impact of coaching out, because even in that, we did see the Spurs. Like, we've seen Billy Donovan get out coached by coaches that should not be as good as him. We saw the Spurs completely destroy the Chicago Bulls with a pick and roll. That's all they did. A simple on the street ball pick and roll. Mm-hmm. And Billy Donovan did not adjust the defense at all in that. So yeah, some of it's on the players, but coaching does have an impact. And when you see something that's continually working and nothing's changed in the scheme, it'd be different if, like, changing lineups when you're completely injured. Okay, that's cool. Anybody can change a lineup, but we're talking about X's and O's adjustments. There was a long stretch of the season where Billy Donovan did not do that. That's also what hurt the Oklahoma Thunder, City Thunder, in the finals, is that the other team started randomly doing stuff and Billy Donovan did not know how to adjust to it. So Billy wasn't
the coach in the finals.
I can't. Oh, well, maybe it was in the finals then. Maybe thinking about the conference finals at that point.
Well, but with 3-1, he was their coach.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
When KD left.
But at the end of the day, like, Billy Donovan has to have something. You can't just say the players aren't doing what – like, it's not just that. That may be some of it. I'm not saying that it's all Billy, all players, but I can't throw Billy the same bell that you're throwing him. I'm still not as harsh on him as some Bulls fans are, but there were absolutely times – where it was just like, coach, what are you doing out here? Like,
I look at it as, right, like, even the game versus Spurs, we get killed. That is one game where I say he got out coached. That's one game where Pop, and it was a sad thing to see. But I also can look at it and say, well, who's Vooch's backside help off of that pick and roll? A 6'3 shooting guard. Mm-hmm. What's the adjustment? My next biggest guy that I can put out there is 6'5". He's still too small. Like, there is a lot that goes on. The players have to play. Coaching can be put in place. You can win a lot with coaching. There are coaches that can take bad basketball teams and make them better, i.e. what we saw from Billy Donovan last season. I don't think that Bulls team should have won 31 games last season. That was a bad basketball team completely, and it was in turmoil the entire season. I think he did a good job with getting them in the right position. I agree that Billy Donovan sometimes does get outcoached. Billy Donovan does fail to make adjustments quick enough sometimes. But I will say this, like, there's a lot of these moments where Bulls fans want to put things on Billy Donovan where, listen, it's not on Billy Donovan. Like, you can't believe that Billy Donovan's telling them on the defensive end, hey, keep leaving that guy open in the corner. I love what you're doing with that. I get, like, he has to go into every huddle saying, hey, we've got to close out on these corner threes. We've got to close out on this at the basket. We've got to do a better job. We've got to be more aggressive. And we've heard him say this, but Bulls fans like to ignore when we hear Billy Donovan actually coaching him and trying to tell his team what to do. And the players don't execute it. It can't be Kobe White's fault. He's not getting put in the right position. It can't be a bad defensive play. You got to change your defensive scheme. You've got to play the defensive scheme. I would give Billy a B. I'm not saying it's an oh my God season, right? I'd give Billy a B.
I'm giving Billy a C+. And that's mainly because of the things that I didn't see with adjustments over certain parts of the season. That's also some things that just not putting, like, not going to Vooch sometimes in second halves of games when he was cooking in the first half. Those are absolutely coaching issues, and those are issues that did hurt us over the course of the season. That's not just because of injury. If somebody's cooking, you give them the ball, and those are certain things that we did that we saw that, you know, and hopefully we get out of that next season. I think that we can. I think Billy Donovan is still the coach right now for the Chicago Bulls, but, you know, he's going to be here, and I think that anybody who thinks
he's going to be here for the long haul.
Billy's going to be here. Billy's going to be here. And I think anybody who thinks that, and you know, that like I said, time away, I definitely think has helped some Bulls fans gain some perspective, because towards the end of the season, it was so much, no, Billy need, they need to cut Billy right now. And I think Bulls fans, at least in what I've seen in the comments and other places, that they're starting to realize, hey, all right, maybe we were a little harsh on that.
It's just, you know, in the moment, like, I get it. It's frustration. It's you're not seeing what you want to see. But I'm sorry. Like, those 90s coaches don't really exist anymore. Where, like, they're willing to punch a player in the face. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I'm sure Red popped a couple of players in the face in the locker room.
I want y'all to understand this. Phil Jackson grabbed Michael Jordan by his collar. And screamed at him. Like, that coach don't exist no more. Pop is too old to do it now.
Man, that's funny.
Pop be getting ejected. Remember Pop used to give, like, the strong ejections where you knew Pop wanted to get ejected?
Oh, you can tell. Like, like, literally, you'll see a play, and you'll see Pop saying that. But, oh, yeah, Pop finna take the rest of the
Pop
night.
Finna get, Pop leaves the night.
Tibbs used to do that, too, sometimes. You'd be like, oh, yeah, Tibbs finna go. Tibbs about to be gone.
Tibbs used to hussing was out though. Tibbs would be like, hey, my favorite one. I'm trying to remember. What was the game? They counted a basket interference. Was it a basket? They counted it or they took it away from us? But I know Tibbs was cussing Buddy out and the ref didn't eject him. And Tibbs drew up the last play. It ain't work. But I remember looking. I was like, man.
I don't remember that one.
In on that one.
I remember one where Tibbs literally followed he was talking to the ref as the ref was walking down the sideline and Tibbs' face was all red. I was like, oh yeah, Tibbs finna get ejected. And he went like this and said, you can tell he said fuck, and then the ref calmly turned around and then went back to the game. Like, hey. I was like, yeah, Tibbs finna get on about it.
We're gonna have to bleep that out. We on lockdown, my boy.
Oh yeah, damn. All right, man, go ahead.
Hey, man, we're going to keep it pushing. We appreciate y'all for tuning in and rocking with us. We're also going to break down AK's numbers, man, and what he did this season, bringing in AK's numbers. And what he did, bringing in this team, putting this team together, and how he did this offseason. But first, we got to tell you about our partners over at Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find the latest odds, news, and sports development, including this year's basketball playoffs, MLB scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. I can't wait for football season,
bro.
Hey, just to get my heart crushed, right? Like, I don't think the Bears, don't worry about it. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting, wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and actions. BetOnline, that's where the game starts, man.
All right. Next up, we got to talk about the Chicago Bulls front office. We're going to now be reviewing the seasons of AK and Mark Eversley. Now, this one's a little bit, let me not say it's difficult, because I think this is an easy grade to give and an easy positive grade to give when you look at how they brought in Lonzo. Not just the fact that they did, right? Because it's easy just to say, hey, they signed Lonzo Ball. But the fact that they turned Tomas Satoransky and Garrett Temple's contracts into Lonzo Ball.
They were on our team last year. That's kind of crazy.
That's like to by work the way, out a sign and trade.
I would have loved to have Sato this season as well.
Nah, I wouldn't say that. But I like it was it like that's amazing. Even DeMar DeRozan. Yes, they gave up a first round pick.
Yeah.
But just and they sent out Thad. But bringing in turning these contracts into key players who played key roles, and you know. Everything that AK and Eversley did this season, you understood the deal. Some of them didn't work out. Tony Bradley didn't work out. Alize Johnson at the time. You remember when we were excited about Alize Johnson because of the energy he brought, but he wasn't able to contain the energy. It didn't end up working out. The Tristan Thompson deal didn't end up working out. The one thing that I think is sticking for a lot of Bulls fans on how they judge what AK and Eversley do, sometimes it is really by what I've seen coming down to the fact that AK and Eversley didn't make a trade at the trade deadline. And I'm here to tell you guys, even before Pat starts talking, is that it never made sense to make a big, huge deal at the trade deadline when you hadn't seen your team fully healthy together. When, especially considering, as we just explained, you have more assets waiting to the draft. Now you can package Vooch, who's an expiring contract, Kobe, and possibly the 18th pick. We'll see what they do. But it never made sense to make a huge trade. You weren't ever going to get much back for Kobe. I still see people who think that we could have turned around and got something serious for Kobe at the trade deadline. It wasn't going to happen. Now, could we have made that deal for Robert Covington looking at what they sent out? Yeah, we possibly could have made that deal. But that bringing in Robert Covington, while it would have been nice to have, wouldn't have changed the Bulls' outcome in the first round of the playoffs. And that's the way that I look at not making a move at the trade deadline. Was there a move to be made, a realistic move to be made, that would have changed the Bulls' outlook in the way that the season ended? And it's not one out there. So my grade for AK and Eversley, I'm giving a solid. It's hard for me. Listen, if anybody hasn't told by now, it's hard for me to give an A. I don't just give A's out. So it's a solid B+, but for most people, that's probably an A. To me, it's going to, until we make at least a conference finals, I ain't giving nobody. But go ahead.
He get an A from me.
And I can't, I understand
it. I've live called these games, bro. Mm-hmm. We used to win 20-something games, bro. Like, this is a whole different team. Like you said, bro, you said Satoransky and Garrett Temple, and I thought it was like 5 years ago that they won the
team. It feels like you're right.
It feels like, bro, we are all, I give him an A for two reasons. For the first time since I've been alive, for the first time since I've been alive and like my brain understood what was happening on a basketball court. I was born in 1994. Like, I watched Jordan and them, but like, it didn't matter. It was like, oh, we winning apparently. Let's get it. Mm-hmm. The Chicago Bulls are a place people want to come. Mm-hmm. We finished a season where we feel like our team is better. We see that our team is better. We won 46 games. And AK says, people want to come here. People want to be here. People have never wanted to be here. Like, Carlos Boozer coming here was because his other options fell through. like nobody in their prime of their career or while they're still talented has wanted to be in Chicago since I've been alive. We drafted everybody that we view highly. Joakim, Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler. We got all of them through the draft. Taj Gibson. They had no choice. They came into this culture. When Thibs was here, people did not want to be here. You know who wanted to be here? Nate Robinson.
And shout out to Nate Robinson for having one of the single greatest Bulls seasons ever. Man,
one of the greatest Bulls games ever, bro.
Oh, yeah, absolutely one of the greatest
Bulls. Wow, Bulls games. Come on now. I give AK an A because he has destroyed 20 years of people not wanting to be a Chicago Bull in two seasons.
That's fair.
And for this season, getting DeMar DeRozan, big. Getting Lonzo Ball, big. Lonzo wanted to be here. Oh, now, yeah. based on what LeVar was saying, I don't think nobody really wants to be in New Orleans. I ain't gonna lie to you. Everybody be there for like a season and be like, man, I don't really want to be here, dog.
Hey, listen, that front office, man, that team is almost cursed. Like,
bro, I feel bad, bro, because I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, man, New Orleans seem kind of lit, but everybody keeps saying, like, it's a great place to visit.
Hey, McCollum seems to love it there. We'll see it a full season. We'll
see after a season.
Yeah, we'll see after a full season.
But I gotta give them boys credit for getting us to this point. And the thing is, like, when AK says we're not done, I believe him, right? Like, this doesn't feel like a guard patch. We want to get younger and more athletic, and then you go out and get D-Wade and Rajon Rondo.
That's gotta be one of the greatest memes ever. Like, how do you contradict yourself on that level? We're gonna get younger and more athletic. Who we just signed? Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo.
Literally in the presser, they was like, I thought y'all wanted to get younger and more athletic. Well, when you see NBA champions like Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo on the market, you got to jump at them, right? Not wrong. And I never forgive you, D. Wade, for getting Cristiano Felicio paid for 4 years. That's your
bro.
Throwing them oops to him. That's your fault.
Man, listen. All right, here's the question I want to throw you. So it's an A, right? Not an A+, just a straight A?
Straight A. Yeah, you know what? I'll say this. A- because of what you said, right? Like, we ain't won nothing yet. We ain't even been out the first round. So I go A-, leaning towards the B, but I got to give them A range.
And another reason why I say I gave them the B+ is that just the roster construction this year. Like, we came into the season knowing one injury to our front line, it was over, right? To Vooch or Patrick Williams, our rotation was going to be so thin. But looking at everything, I think the one thing that, like I said, I don't count the miss being not making a trade at the trade deadline. The one thing that I do look at as a minor miss is that they didn't want to take the Nance money just because
that's a miss
of it being more money. And that is a miss, because if you replace as much as Derrick Jones Jr. for a little while, and him and Lonzo with that pick and roll, that like if you replace that Derrick Jones Jr. with Nance, that now, almost completely changes the roster makeup for this team.
His injury, you never know, different city, different climate, all that. But his injury was a non-contact injury, I believe, right? So like we might not have had him anyway. We might have had the same issue with Nance and Patrick. With Larry Nance literally came back like two games before the playoffs. But we played him, right? Like 2-3 games before the playoffs, I think was his first game back.
But when did you see how he cooked in the playoffs though?
Oh, Nance, yeah, listen, I love Larry Nance. I would have loved to have Larry Nance. I think that is a miss. And I'm not that person that comes on here and says, like, AK hasn't missed. He hasn't had a miss yet. AK's had some misses. But for me, I'm looking at the situation that he's put the Bulls in. Like, coaching and building a team are two different things for me. For me, building a team, if you can get your team to become a destination where people want to continuously become – or continuously come, that's the first goal when building a team. Because now, listen, anybody makes money work. Whenever a superstar talent becomes on the market, all of a sudden you can make money work.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they'd be like, they don't have the money to do this. We move 7 contracts, a dog, and an Italian beef. And now we have Anthony Davis and LeBron James on the team. Like, how'd they make that money work? Don't worry about it. In 10 years, we won't have a basketball team anymore. They just that's how the money works. Yeah. So I give them credit for that. And I feel like I do agree with you that that's a miss. I don't believe that the midseason, making a trade midseason was a miss. Like, I agree with you on that as well. Because to me, that midseason trade is everybody was asking for P. Will. Mm-hmm. And AK understands where we're at. P. Will, 20. Zach, 27. Lonzo, 24. DeMar's 30. DeMar and Vooch are in their 30s, and they're two players that you feel like with both of them, like, yeah, well, I need all these other dudes to step up anyway. I need you to become a 3. So I give them credit, and I love where this Bulls team is headed. At a minimum, right, like, didn't it just feel good, Bulls fans, not to give a F about the lottery? The lottery was Tuesday, and I was like, oh man, I should probably turn the lottery on. Oh, we're at pick 7. Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. But yeah, overall, great season. Like you said, completely changing the culture. Billy Donovan and AK and Eversley, the three of them have really been huge in changing the culture here around the Chicago Bulls. Like you said, it feels like it's been so long since Jim Boylan was our head coach, and it was just 2 years ago.
They keep getting jobs, bro.
Oh, I know. What is he? He's like hosting the draft combine or something, workouts now. He's doing something like that. And he's working for Team USA. It's like, hey, man.
How's he keep getting jobs? I've heard him talk basketball. Like, I'm so lost. He can't know that much. He's had a job for like 30 years.
And as much as people complain about Billy Donovan's adjustments, y'all remember Jim Boylan's adjustments?
We're going to play.
Because they didn't happen.
Jim Boylan said, we're playing man.
Yeah, that's it.
Jim, you don't want to switch on the screen? Fight over it. Jim, there's 7 screens, bro. Fight over it.
Fight over every single one of them. Every single real player. You know, when I played with such and such, such, like, shut up, Jim. Just shut up.
Oh, man.
Shut up.
At least Billy played. He played for the Knicks. Like, did Jim even play?
He played. I think played college level. I don't think it was NBA level.
That man, but they played water boy.
Listen, boy, man, that is. Woo, thank God that we are out of the dark times and dark ages, man. Anything left, Pat?
Oh, man, we got to stop flashbacking, bro. Bro, we got PTSD.
Oh, yeah, bro. I say that all the time. Bro. Bulls fans have a serious level of PTSD, and it's not going to stop, I think, until we at least make the conference finals a couple years in a row, fam. Like, it's going to be there.
Bro, we really just be having like this great conversation about how good the Bulls are. And then we always just be like, remember Jim Boylan?
Remember Cristiano Felicio?
Remember Felicio, bro. Like
Paul Zipser, who we're high on.
Hey, hey, I tell you this right now. I I don't want to use the word hate, but it's such so apt. I couldn't stand watching Paul Zipser shoot that stupid corner three. Oh my God, bro. We drafted him. I swear I thought we didn't. I was like, man, we must have picked him up off of like the trash pile. Like, where'd we get him? Oh, we picked him. We selected him. Good Lord. Follow me on everything at Pat the Designer, man. It's at PATTHEDESIGNER. Said they'd go to public school, but they taught me how to spell. I'm still saying it. You can't stop me. Also, follow us on everything at Locked On Bulls. Locked On Bulls on Twitter and on Instagram.
Remember, we drafted Paul Zipser with the 48th overall pick.
You drafted him. You didn't even know that till I just said that.
I did not, bro.
You
like
didn't
that.
Know that. You had to Google.
Wow. Wow. We drafted anyway, Zipser, you got that's crazy. You guys can follow me at CEO Hayes, at CEO HAIZE. Want to thank you for making Locked On Bulls your first listen of the day. Now for your second listen, go and tune in to Locked On NBA, where our Locked On experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. That's it. Thank you for tuning in today. We love you guys. Peace out.